Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I'm guessing you recognize these words. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. Throughout the season of Lent, we are singing and praying with David and the psalmist. Our prayers, our hymns, our confessions, and our praises. We began our Lenten journey on Ash Wednesday with Psalm 51, one of seven penitential psalms. It was David who led us in acknowledging of our sin and confessing it. In other words, David models for us a repentant heart. David repents, David confesses. He says, against you only, O Lord, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. He says, I was born into sin. So David will confess what we call original sin, and David will confess actual sin, and David will come clean by the grace of God. Against you only have I sinned. So what do we deserve? Only God's wrath. And yet because God is steadfast and merciful, he bestows upon us what we do not deserve, not his wrath, but the blessing of his grace. Our sins. Our sins inflict harm and hurt and injury upon others, neighbors, people in the community, family members, co-workers. But David makes it very clear that all sin is only against God, our Creator and our Redeemer. And so therefore only God can forgive us our sin, can cover and make atonement for our sin. Only God can blot out our sins, or in the words of Psalm 51, as you may recall, purge our sin with hyssop. And that's the Passover story, the spreading of the lamb's blood. And that's the story of our Lord's execution and enthronement on the cross when they hold up to him the sedative on hyssop. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, chief of sinners, though I be. And so we confess with David our sins. We pray and we sing with the psalmist. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. That's a great way to begin the Lenten journey and our journey through the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, the Tehillim, the praises. Last week, it was Psalm 91, a confession of faith, a creed, and it's found, as you may recall, frequently around the beds of those who are growing old, coming toward the end, gravesides, funerals, memorial services. Psalm 91, the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God is in control. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. The Lord God Almighty is your protector and your protection 24/7. Now, the confession of the psalmist, Psalm 91, is not about naivete. It's not about head in the sand. It's not about pie in the sky. It certainly isn't about pretense. The psalmist knows that the enemy, the adversary, prowling around like a lion on the roar, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call the ancient serpent, he's relentless. He will be attacking us always. In fact, David will remind us that we are, in the words of Romans 8, sheep regarded for slaughter. You can't even put a number or a name on the adversary because David said, they're coming at me from all four sides. They're all around me. He says, they're encamping about me like an army that's ready to attack. And yet somehow in the midst of all of the hostility and all of the attack that comes our way, we have faith, God-given faith that allows us to hope. Not to throw in the towel, but to believe that God, our Father, has all things in his hands. Psalm 91 ends not with the voice of the psalmist. That's how it starts, but instead ends with the voice of the Most High God. And you remember from last week when we sang On Eagle's Wings? And there are a couple different versions of it. And it used to throw me for a loop. It confused me because I thought, well, and he will raise you up. And then all of a sudden, the one in the with one voice says, and I will raise you up. Well, I got to confess, because it is Lent, I actually like the with one voice better because it's more true to Psalm 91. The psalmist's voice ends, and now God says, let me do the talking. Let me do the singing. And I will raise you up. On eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand. You see, there's a difference when I'm talking about what God's going to do for you compared to when God speaks directly to you and says, this is who I am for you. The confession of faith ends with the voice of God singing his promise to you and to me. With long life, I will satisfy him and her, my beloved child, and I will show you, says the Lord, my salvation. Well, that's a couple of great psalms to get us going already in the season of Lent, but we're not done yet. Tonight, we get to look at Psalm 27. And I came across a scholar by the name of Philip W. McClarity. And he writes, if you were to comb the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation and pick a single verse of Scripture upon which to anchor your faith in Jesus Christ, you could do no better than Psalm 27, verse 1. Ah, what you'll see happening, and you probably heard it when I was reading Psalm 27 tonight to you, it's like David is proclaiming all of this confidence, and then all of a sudden he's praying for God to rescue him. It's kind of like, wait a minute now. I thought you said we're not supposed to have any fear. Well, he knows the devil is always on the attack mode. So we got to keep coming back to Psalm 27, verse 1. Keep coming back to it when the devil is throwing all kinds of junk your way. Come back to Psalm 27, verse 1, and confess the Lord, L-O-R-D, in capital letters. That's Yahweh. That's the God of the burning bush. That's the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the great I am, right? That's Jesus. The Lord is, not was, not maybe will be, is present tense. It's declarative. The Lord is my. Well, he might be yours too. But I'm telling you, in my own life, this is my story. This is my song. Praising the Lord all the day long, right? Blessed assurance. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Now there's poetic irony in Psalm 27. Because here's the truth. Those who fear the Lord have no fear. You see it? You hear it? Those who fear the Lord have no fear at all. When you think about fear, when you think about all the phobias that people battle, hundreds of them, right? Supposedly the number one fear that maybe one out of four people have is of anacrophobia or something like that, of the spiders, right? But all kinds of fears, and I have been told that if you look at fear not in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, 66 books, you'll find 365, approximately 365 references to fear not. One for each day of the year. You see how God is. The enemy surrounds us to encamp against us, to attack us, but God is surrounding us, going before us, behind us, beside us, within us, above us, below us. God is surrounding us with his truth, with his faithfulness, with his love. No harm will come near us. Jesus talks about fear. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus recognizes the human propensity for fear, and so he offers this qualifier. And I'm paraphrasing a bit, but I can hear Jesus saying, you know, fear is a good thing. You should have fear. But make sure that it's real fear and not fake fear or pseudo fear. Do not fear those, Jesus says, those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. Jesus will talk about fear, but he wants it to be real fear, not pseudo or fake fear. And then he asks a rhetorical question. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yeah, duh. That's the marketplace price. So what's the point? Well, not one of them, Jesus says, falls to the ground without my Father's knowing. You have much more value than many sparrows. Every single hair on your head is numbered, Jesus says. And then he offers this pronouncement, which is promising, but also worth acknowledging. Everyone who acknowledges me, Jesus says, before men on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me before men on earth will be denied by me before my Father in heaven. In Christ we have no fear. One of the hymns of the church, have no fear, little flock, have no fear, little flock, for the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Well, If we read the Old Testament, we will see that David had a lot of things to be afraid of. Rich Sunday and I were talking recently. He's been reading about the kings, and he said, my goodness, there's a mess in the Old Testament there. Yeah. I mean, David, remember, he starts off and he's just a youth, and he's got to go up against Goliath, and all he has is a sling and 5 smooth stones. No fear. Doesn't even wear Saul's armor, right? And then he becomes Saul's son-in-law, and Saul is kind of going through a lot of different stuff psychologically, and he throws a spear at David. I mean, he's tormented, and David tries to soothe it by singing psalms to him, right? And then David's one son rapes one of David's daughters, and another one of David's sons kills the son who raped the daughter, and then you've got Absalom, who tries to take the kingdom away from his father and leads a rebellion. What I'm saying is that David knew enemies out there. We know enemies out there, right? And David knew enemies even in his own family, for crying out loud. And David knew the greatest enemy of all, right in his own human flesh. David knew the enemy. He often felt overwhelmed. So what did he do when day was darker than night? What did David do when day was darker than night, when he's overwhelmed? The thick darkness threatened to destroy him. What did he do? He turned to the Lord. He turned to the light. He turned to the rock of his salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1. David kept going back to it, back to it, back to it, right? He confesses his personal faith. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my light. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and so I have no fear, no fear, no fear. Evildoers, militia gossipers are attacking David from all sides, telling lies and giving false witness. David's adversaries and foes are so many that he can't even begin to name them or number them. But he does not lose his faith or his hope or his confidence. David says, my foes are the ones who are going to stumble and fall. David realizes that he has a choice. He can run, he can hide, he can cower in fear. Or he can choose to stand his ground and keep his eyes on Jesus. David chooses faith rather than fear. He chooses light rather than darkness. He chooses the victory that overcomes this world, the faith of Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know the first thing God said, Genesis 1:1? Let there be light. God speaks and it happens. When the light appears, creation begins. The new day dawns. And so in the New Testament, when Jesus identifies himself as Ego Eimi, the great I am, the Lord, he says, I am the light of the world. And the epistle of 1 John says, we confess what we have received, that he is the light, and in him there is absolutely no darkness at all. Rich and I were also visiting this morning about, now with daylight saving time, you have a tendency to drive into the light. That happened to me Sunday morning when I'm going over to Holman, Wisconsin in the morning. The sun is rising, and on I-90 going east, right in my face. And I tried to put, you know, the visor down. I tried to get away from the light, but it was right in my face. And when I came home that day, I wanted to be on the road before it got dark. Because you can have lights, and you can put them on the brights. But it only illumines so much. The daylight, I can see way out into those fields. But at night, especially if I can't have the brights on, I can see just a little ways. Maybe that's God saying to you and to me, trust me. Trust me. I am your light. And I've got you. And you're secure. Verse 4 of our psalm is a key verse. David has one pursuit, one aspiration, one goal. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and for this one thing I am in hot pursuit, David says. So what's the one thing? Did you catch it when I read it to you tonight? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to be in church 24/7. I want to see the face of Almighty God. I want to see the face of Jesus. I want to be with Emmanuel all the time. That's the one thing that David is in hot pursuit of, to dwell in the worshiping presence of Almighty God constantly. Well, that makes sense, right? Because if in him there's light and life and no darkness at all, well, then we seek the face of Jesus and we are in the light and the darkness can't touch us. Oh, the servants of darkness, the evil ones, they can destroy our bodies, but they can't touch our souls. No fear. No fear at all. Sounds like St. Paul's confession, too, when he says, I've decided to forget what lies behind and strain forward with what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I count it all loss, Paul says, for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ is my Lord. And then Paul says, but your citizenship is in heaven, from which you await a Savior who will transform your lowly body into the heavenly body of Christ himself. David was brutally honest about his fears and his God-given faith. He knew them, we know them, and he also knew that fears don't just magically disappear. And the enemy isn't just going to simply go and pursue somebody else. About the time that you think everything is going well, that's when Satan will pull the rug out from underneath of you. That's when he'll call in his reinforcements and lodge another attack. That's when the evil one will raise its ugly head. When those days come and you feel the weight of the world upon your chest and you find it difficult to breathe, it is then that David says, remember, even when you feel the most forsaken, God has adopted you. God has claimed you. Yes, you are sheep regarded for slaughter, but you are lambs of the Good Shepherd Jesus, and no one can snatch you out of his hands. And Romans 8, nothing can separate you from his love. There was an old farmer who was asked about his favorite Bible verse, and his favorite Bible verse, he said, was, and it came to pass. Now, somebody asked this farmer, they said, and it came to pass. That's really your favorite Bible verse? He said, yes. Why? He said, because it doesn't say, and it came to stay. It came to pass. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because I'm going through it. Isaiah 43. Do not be afraid. I have called you by name. You are mine. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you, and you are mine. And so we keep going back to Psalm 27, verse 1. We have no fear because the enemy cannot win. In fact, the enemy has already lost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one. The Lord is the stronghold of my faith, my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. You see, those who fear the Lord have no fear. Paul Harvey, some of you know this guy. I mean, he's not with us anymore, right? But he tells this story about Ray Blankenship and two-year-old Jessica O'Connell. The setting is Andover, Ohio, on a morning. And remember, the setting is that for 10 days straight, it's been raining. So everything is soaked and there's water everywhere. And Ray is eating breakfast, fixing breakfast. He looks out the window and there's this little girl, his neighbor girl, little Jessica. She's only 2 years old and the current is sweeping her away. And he knows that as she's flailing, that she's going to end up in this passageway of water that goes under the busy road and then into a deep culvert, as wide as this room and as deep as this room, and she will drown. And Ray goes running out there to do everything he can, following her, thinking, I got to get her, I got to get her. And pretty soon he jumps into the water, and now it's sweeping him away, but he's able to grab her. And they're flailing and they're flipping. And then he's able, he said, just before they get to this deep culvert water, they're able to grab something. Was it a piece of wood? A rock? He clings on, and eventually he's able to get out. And by the time the fire department, the rescue team, gets there, well, they're in shock, obviously, and they nearly drowned. But their lives have been saved because he was holding onto the rock, to that piece of wood, to that cross. No fear, huh? Well, he was awarded on April 12, 1989, the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. And what makes this story absolutely amazing is that Ray did not know how to swim. No lie. What causes a person who doesn't know how to swim to jump into the deep water? What does that? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. No fear. No fear. When Jesus, whose name means he saves, Savior. You see, David was prophesying Jesus. David's son, Messiah Jesus, it's David's Lord. And Jesus is your light and your salvation and your stronghold. And so you have no fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn, O Lord, you are my light.